It's something that I do is something that lasts for me 60 seconds for someone, the person who I'm saying it to, if they're a POC, that could last 4 years, like in your case.
This is Neem Talks Race, the interview series, and this is the last episode where I talk to Jake about an experience that happened to me in middle school. That was one of the most racist things that's happened as of right now in my life, and we basically kind of reflect on what happened, how it has impacted me, how Jake is now reflecting on that among other experiences, and similar to what I talked about with Kellen and Kaya about how white people come to reflect on their own personal racism and steps moving forward. And this is going to be the last episode for this season just because I'm going to college and I want to figure that out and not be stressed out by other things. So once I'm more settled into college, I'll bring up the series back again, start with season two, because there's a lot more things that I have in my notes but didn't get to reach. So yeah, that's kind of the future for this podcast series. So yeah, I hope you enjoy this one.
I'll just start off with the intro. So thank you for joining. Today I'm with Jake, and we're going to be talking about a personal experience that happened to me in middle school involving Jake and another person, which I think could be very valuable for a lot of people listening for a lot of different reasons, which we'll get into. I'm Tasneem. I use she, her pronouns. I identify as Oliver Brown.
I'm Jake. I identify as Caucasian or white, and I use he, him pronouns.
We'll just get into it. So basically, there's a situation that happened in middle school that's definitely at the top of experiences I've had as a person of color in Portland, mainly just because of how much it stuck out in comparison to a lot of experiences I had. So, and I remember this in vivid detail just because it left me speechless when it happened, and I've only been speechless twice. The other time was when Trump won that same night. So basically, it was the day right after my birthday. I think that's also why I remember it pretty well. It was 2016, so I was freshly 14. And it's a group project. I remember what the assignment was. It was the Lincoln-Douglas debate in middle school's like eighth grade. And I know the person sitting next to me, and the person sitting across from me is Jake. Person next to him is the other kid involved. And we're making a document for the project just to start. It's like, you know, in middle school, I would definitely be the type of person to like, I would try to like organize the game plan for a lot of group projects. So I open the Google Doc, it's blank. And I'm like, okay guys, let's all type our names, you know, quite the basics. So I type my name, everyone types theirs. I go on a different tab, start doing my research. And all of a sudden I remember the other person and Jake were just laughing really hard at like whatever it was they were looking at the screen. And my first instinct was, this is not good. And I don't know why I felt that, but I just had a feeling that like something happened relating to me that I was like, there's no way, it's just something random. And I don't know why I felt that way, but I think it's just because in middle school, I had a lot of experiences that led me to, I guess, start to pick up on when I noticed things were quite sus in regards to race and things. And I ended up being right. And when I looked on the doc, my last name was changed to a slur. And it was the first time that I've encountered that specific slur. And the other person, not Jake, changed their name to an individual relating to the individual I was named after. I don't want to like say, but I think if you can think about a big event that happened in the 2000s that greatly impacts Arab Americans today, I think you can figure out the individuals involved. But my last name was changed to one of them. They changed their last name to a white man that was very powerful in that situation. And I looked at the document and my jaw dropped for the most part. I looked at it and I was like, wow, like my last name something that I really identify with was changed to a slur that I haven't encountered before. And so I was speechless. So in my mind, I remember I was like, okay, what am I going to do about this? Because, you know, I've been used to like other things, like, you know, usual terrorist or whatever. And I was like, okay, like I've been able to brush that off and I still do now. But I just remember that one was like the first I've ever heard and I didn't know how to respond to it. And so in my mind, I was like, okay, I don't want this kid to get away with it. And so the second that I definitely had like a face of shock of what was happening, I remember Jake, you stopped laughing. Like it was almost like immediate after you saw my face. And then you were like pretty much harassing the other kid. You're like, why'd you do that? That's not funny anymore. Like you shouldn't do that. Change the name. And I started asking the kid, I was like, why is that funny? And I just kept saying that question over and over again. And they kept getting pretty flustered. They were like, I don't know, like, stop asking me. I need a lawyer. Like, they just didn't want to answer the question. And I just remember that moment, even to this day, just because of how personal it was. You know, it was like changing my name to an individual I didn't like. And it definitely was like almost like a curveball in figuring out the way people perceived me in middle school. I was like, okay, people don't see me as Tasneem. I'm seen as, you know, this person. And I was like, okay, how am I gonna have to change myself now? Or like, what do I need to do to make it seem like I'm not like those people, like, don't think of me as that way? And I still remember that situation also because of how both of the people involved, Jake and the other kid, ended up like in high school in regards to like addressing things about race, which is why I think this conversation is super interesting to have, because thinking about how you in that moment, like you were laughing along with it at first, but once you like saw the impact of it, then you were like, okay, I'm like, this isn't funny anymore. And then comparing it to the other person who pretty much like initiated all of it, seeing how they are now in high school in regards to like addressing things about race, I'm always like, wow, like that situation, I guess, was kind of telling about how they somewhat end up. You know, obviously a lot of things are said in middle school by people, like a lot of people, and they're completely different now. And I think a lot of it just has to do with like maturity and also not knowing enough about race, and schools don't even like talk about it that much. So when I think about middle school and like how rough it was in that sense, I almost like don't want to blame the people themselves, like individually, 100%, because I know there's like maybe they were just raised like that and they don't know any better, they're young. Like, I think there's a lot of room for people to grow, especially when they're younger. And I have less of a tolerance for it in like high school, but I know in middle school, people are growing, they're changing, they're going to say things. And a lot of them have changed since then. And I don't want to hold them to it, but I still think it's interesting to have a dialogue with people about those things. Because like Kellen and Kaya said, like, when white people are talking about racism, people first have to just look at themselves. And even if they don't remember doing anything, there's still a lot like to acknowledge about whiteness and how that affects other people. So yeah, that was just the situation. And you know, I think it's very interesting to be able to have this conversation now, like after graduating, because this is something like I always think about like every year. It just comes up all the time. Anytime I'm doing like some sort of race work or just anything, it's always something that I think about, being like, yeah, I remember when that happened. So yeah, Jake, if you want to say anything.
Yeah, no, sorry. Well, I mean, I know we talked about this last night, but I mean, I was up basically all night. I just want to, I mean, look you in the eyes and just say that, like, just knowing that, I mean, even if you take it outside of like, because obviously I think we're going to go into it and unpack it and like kind of talk about like why people say the things they do, how do we change some of these biases. But I just want to like look you in the eyes and say, like, I'm really genuinely sorry. Just the fact that something I did made you feel that way because of like, whether it was ignorance, I mean, willful or not, whether it's just me and being middle school, being not necessarily a great person, that really bothered me. And I also want to say, I really respect you for bringing that up to me last night. Cause we don't, I mean, like, we've always, like, in high school, we've always been friendly. We've had classes together and stuff. But, like, I mean, it's not like we're super close.
Yeah.
I just, it was a really brave thing to do, especially just because, I mean, it came up because I was just, I said, hey, I've seen a couple episodes of your podcast. I think it's interesting. If you ever wanted to have someone like me on, I would be willing to do that. And then, I mean, yeah, I was just, and I guess after getting that out of the way, I'll go into it and saying the first thing that, my first reaction, I think the first thing I said was that, I don't even remember that. And like, that's the honest answer. And that's the, and I think that's like so hugely. And then hearing you say that you remembered the exact date, time, place, what was said.
Yeah, I know who was sitting next to me, where you were sitting. I even like remember the same color shirt the other kid was wearing too. Yeah.
I mean, I don't remember what I had for breakfast last day. And the fact that like you remembered that in like vivid detail just absolutely floored me. I mean, just the fact that, I mean, yeah, sorry, that was, but, and I guess that got me thinking, and I think this was, I'm thinking like, all right, like what got me there? Where am I now? Are there, what are the differences? What are some of the things that are probably still the same? Like, and one of the things I was thinking of is I've had kind of like going into middle school, like you were saying, everyone's kind of a bad person in middle school. Everyone gets targeted, picked on for something or the other, but there's something about the way that as like white kids that we're, there's something about how we get there that makes us think it's like okay or funny, or that race is like on the table. Like people get, it's already such a negative environment, but there's definitely other stuff going on, I feel like, that like allows race to become at the epicenter of like, what, why would you target someone for that? Why would that be funny? Why is that something that even should be brought up? And so it got me thinking, and like just where I've been grown up, and I think about this a lot more, much more in the past couple of years than I did when I was younger. But I mean, I was born in San Francisco, I moved to Portland, I lived in Utah, then I lived to Italy, and then I moved back to Portland. And I think those are probably the four whitest places in the entire world that you could possibly live, in all honesty. I mean, it doesn't get more just straight white bread than that. And I think part of like going into that is that when you're going into middle school, you're just, I mean, obviously like being a good person, like I was saying, like in middle school, people are not good people, in my opinion. Everyone's going through a bunch of stuff. But just like having zero experience and being so ignorant of like, of issues about race and issues about things. And like my parents did, I feel like did a good job of like they were talking about this kind of stuff. But again, it doesn't really impact me as much because I'm white. So I don't have to feel it on the day to day exam. Like this is why I don't even remember this happening. And I think like just the way that's just kind of, I mean, we live in such a segregated world. And for the most part, where you're around people who either, for the most part, who look like you, especially when I was growing up, you just get so ignorant that I think it's like, I mean, you have to take like active, extreme steps to counter some of those things, I feel like.
Yeah, definitely. Especially like I could see definitely like how being white in Portland, that would play out, because if it's not going to be like talked about like among other white people in general, or it's just not going to be something you're going to notice, versus like being in my position and like a lot of things that were said to me in middle school, it was very obvious where I felt like I stood in relation to other people. So yeah, and I'm not surprised that a lot of people, like especially when they think about like their past and stuff, they wouldn't remember everything, whether it's like in great detail or not, just because, you know, it's not gonna affect them the same way, like you just said. It's like, I guess it kind of goes over your head, especially when you're younger.
I just wanted to add that I didn't want to make it seem like I'm excusing the lack of action or the lack of like acknowledgement taken upon by white people to recognize their personal racism. I was just rather saying it in the sense that like, because of white privilege and white people in particular in Portland being surrounded by whiteness and like every aspect, that their own personal racism and racist things that happen in the city, whether it's overt or subtle, just like goes over their head, and that's just the reality of it. And especially that happens with younger people, and with my middle school experience it did. And yeah, I just wanted to clarify that. I didn't want to make it seem like that was a fine behavior. Rather, just like me just noticing that's just how middle school was for me. And that, I think, has to do with a lot of things. One of them being not enough resources in school and even probably at home for white students to learn how to critically think about race.
Yeah, I just think it's super crazy to think this one situation, I can remember so much detail. And then you, and I bet 100% the other person as well, have like no memory at all. And that's like just so crazy to me. But I like expect that. And I expect that from a lot of other people as well. And I don't think I'd have the conversation now if I didn't think you were any different. And this is just from what I've seen in, like, you know, like the leadership retreat and the race training thing I did too. And just in high school in general, I've always like just noticed like in the back of my mind how both of you guys have changed. And I definitely do think a lot of people are more aware, and that has to do a lot with, I think, education as well, like in high school. And I think going now, like forward, especially in future generations to come, middle school is likely going to look a lot different than it was for me, for a lot of students of color and white people. Like, I bet there's going to be more topics about race, especially now with like everything happening now. I bet when people go back to school, it's going to be more of a thing that's seen as like a norm and not like, oh, look at us, we're having a diversity training like randomly one day out of the year. So it's a lot to do with environment and, you know, how people were raised and like how much they take from that. But I still think it's important for like people to be, you know, just think about it. And if white people tend to feel like guilty about it, that's when it goes the opposite way of being productive. Because then addressing experiences of like personal racism for them as a white person ends up just being a way of them trying to feel less bad about themselves and not trying to, you know, accept what happened, learn from it, move on, and try not to do it again, and try not to, you know, alleviate guilt, because that's a different motive than like wanting to, or like wanting to be anti-racist. Those are like different motives.
Yeah, I think I totally agree. And I think we get a lot of that here in Portland, of where it's like the actions people take are more for themselves versus like to solve the actual problem or for them not to make the same mistakes in the future. Because I think it's, everyone obviously there's things that are unforgivable and people do things that, I mean, there's obviously a line. But I mean, everyone makes mistakes, everyone does things that are bad. I mean, it's just, I think, about moving forward and looking at how to become a better person every day. But I mean, I think also like kind of like what you were saying, I mean, this was, I mean, you were saying like, oh, it's more acceptable in middle school because it was middle school. And I think it'd be really easy for me to sit here and be like, oh yeah, that was 5 years ago. I'm a totally different person. I'm a totally perfect person now. I mean, that's just not the truth. I think I've grown a lot, and I think I definitely become a better person, and I hopefully would not have the same scenario happening again. But like, I'm going to be completely honest and say, like, 2 years ago, a year ago, last week, something similar can happen where, because of me being ignorant or because of me just not taking into account the way I make other people feel, I mean, something like this could have totally happened in class this year. And I think, and again, like I say here saying, hopefully I would have the strength and the common sense to be a better person and think of how making other people feel and take actions towards being anti-racist. But I think it's also important to address that, like, because once, if you think that you're already okay, if you think that what you're doing is already, you've already taken the steps, you've read the articles, you know what words to use, I think at that point you lose sight of the fact that it's like a continual, constant process.
Yeah.
And like you've always got to be thinking about it. You've always got to be acknowledging and taking steps and realizing that, like, I mean, like, this could have been happening this year. And I've got to realize that and just continue to be super self-aware and try, like, you know, I feel like it's a constant process.
Yeah, it definitely is. I remember when I was talking with Kellen and Kaya about it, you know, they were talking about how prior to the class, like, they've obviously thought about race before, but not in the same way the class taught them to think about it. And it's definitely changed the way they've moved forward going on, like, with life because of that class. And, you know, a lot of the things they said was, like, realizing how internalized, like, behaviors of white supremacy are, and just, like, projecting that onto other people can be super hard to recognize at first, especially because a lot of white people, like, don't want to admit that they are racist because there's, like, a fear of that label. And, you know, like, they did an exercise in that class where all the white students wrote down something racist they did on a piece of paper. It was all anonymous, and they had the students of color read it out loud. And they were all, like, just nervous to think that those students of color are going to think they're the same people they were, like, a couple years ago or however, like, whenever that happened. And they were just afraid because they're like, I don't want them to think I'm like that. Like, I'm really trying. And I think that's a very common feeling for a lot of white people, that it's very hard to at least get to the first step of acknowledging something that did happen and trying to reject, like, the fear of being called racist, because then that inherently would stop you from doing anything, because then you don't want people to call you racist simply because of that label. So yeah, it definitely is, like, a continuous process, and it would be, like, you know, a lie to yourself and, like, white people in general to think, oh, I'm at, like, this perfect spot right now, nobody can tell me otherwise, like, I'm the perfect ally. And the reality is, race is always going to be changing. It's going to look different. Always, you know, like, if you look at history, slavery is almost like prison nowadays. There's a lot of parallels, and people would think, oh, we're beyond slavery, we're, you know, we're past that. And the reality is, we aren't. So race just takes form in different things in society as it changes. So it that also just means we have to change the way we think about it and to not stop.
Yeah, saying what you, I didn't take that, I mean, I wish I would have in retrospect after hearing kind of the people, the white people that were in it. I think that would have been beneficial to me. But actually, this is actually something I remember doing. And this was something that I don't think I was ever, I never went up to him, but there was a student, I'm sure he remembers this, because again, it's the same situation where it's something like, I do something because it's something that I do is something that lasts for me 60 seconds for someone. The person who I'm saying it to, if they're a POC, that could last 4 years, like in your case. And so I guess I won't say who it was, but I'm sure he knows, but it was in my chemistry class sophomore year. And I remember going up to this individual. I don't remember exactly what I did, but this person is black, and they, and I went up to them and I, like, grabbed a part of their hair and I was like, oh, why is your hair like this? Like, and not necessarily in a demeaning way, but it just isn't like a, like, oh, like, this is a different way. And at the time, I thought absolutely nothing of it. And I don't think I thought anything of it until at some point last year, because I just, I think that's when I started to get thinking and I started to do more self-reflecting. And I was just like, holy shit, like, I bet you 100% that affected that person a ton. And this is something that I only remembered a year and a half later. And I just think, like, kind of like what you were saying, it's just, I don't necessarily feel as if, like, I need to get that off my chest because I have so much guilt about it and I want to feel like a better person. But I just think, like, until you recognize, like, it's a constant process. I'm sure 2 weeks from now or a month from now, maybe I'll continue thinking and I'll remember something else that I've done. And I'll remember another mistake that I've made, and how just, like, the unmeasurable impact me as, like, a white person with power in the regards of, like, a racial setting could have on someone else. And it's just like, again, like what you were saying, the fact that you knew all those things about that, I was just absolutely floored me. I mean, it's something that I feel like until you talk to someone, like, which is why I was grateful for this conversation, it's hard to even imagine how deep something can go.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Looking back on things in middle school, I mean, I definitely don't think about it as much now. I mean, I try not to, just because, you know, it's not worth it sometimes. But I think this one in particular, I just remember the most because it had to do with my name. And that was very different than anything I've had before. And, you know, obviously have like a personal attachment to my name. You know, obviously growing up, I had a lot of comments on it. It's very different. It's an ethnic name, as I'm sure as anyone with some sort of cultural name can relate to, which is why I think that event in particular has stuck with me. And so I remember it, and I don't like get that upset about it. Obviously at the time I was really upset, and you know, it just happens. It's like one of the things you experience, and you kind of, you know, you just kind of move on. Cause I feel like if you dwell too much about it, that's not good for you. And I'm learning more about that in quarantine. I think it is probably a crazy feeling for more and more white people to realize whatever they did that could have been 60 seconds could be something that the next person remembers for 4 or 5 years, which is this case. And that's pretty crazy. I didn't think I would have this conversation for that reason, because I was like, I don't know how productive this is going to be for, you know, for you. And, you know, even for the other person after that happened, I made like a very clear decision. Like once high school started, I don't want anything to do with them. And that stayed all 4 years. I think I only heard one word from them, maybe some running into the hall, but I made it very clear. I was like, I don't want to see this person for the next 4 years. I'm going to avoid that. And it kind of worked, and I'm not that mad about it. But at the same time, I feel bad like thinking, oh, like they haven't changed. And I know that could not be the case. Like maybe they did change, but I just can't help but feel like I just don't know. And I think that's more of like an intuition kind of thing. When I was talking to Layla and Hana yesterday, they were just talking about like intuitively how they've been able to read a lot of white people when things have come up. And it's just more of like a feeling. I don't know how to describe it, but like it's like the feeling I had when I knew something sus happened when I saw that both of you guys were laughing. And I just knew it was going to be something like that. And I think those kinds of events in middle school, as like childish as they were, because you know there was like more than one, it's set up for bad mental things in high school. But you know, that's just something I think everyone deals with as a person of color in this country, and you just kind of grow from that. And I definitely think senior year was one of the best years in regards to that more self-awareness about how those things impact you and what you can do to move forward. And I do definitely have a lot of regrets about the way things happened in middle school and the way I could have responded. I think a lot about how teachers could have responded better, how even I could have like said something. Because I remember that experience was one of the first times where I like called the person out. Because normally when it happens, I'm just like, okay, like whatever, brush it off. But I think because that was so different, I wanted to hear an answer from the other person, which is why I started, you know, I just started to press them about it. I don't think I'll forget it, but it's something that I'll learn.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why I think part of the biggest thing, and especially like I was talking with one of the students who was in helping out with the race training for teachers this year, and the fact that some teachers just didn't want to participate or thought it was a waste of their time. That's got to be the root of the issue, because, or at least one of the problems, because when you take a bunch of, I mean, this is obviously like not about me at all, but I mean, there was things that people said and did to me in middle school that are gonna, you know, stick with me the rest of for a while as well. I mean, it's just such a toxic environment where you get kids growing up and like all these hormones and all of these, everyone just like wants to be at the top of the social hierarchy. And it's just like, I mean, it was the worst 3 years of my life. I mean, I don't think anyone looks back and was like, yo, middle school was lit. Like I love silly bands or whatever. But I think the fact that that's why there needs to be adults there, and especially like representation, not just white teachers, even in a city like Portland. I think there needs to be a better equality within like representation in schools, because otherwise, I mean, who are students of color going to talk to if they feel like they don't have anyone that's on their side? But I think that we need to like take a serious look at like what classes we're teaching, what teachers we're hiring, the kind of message the school is giving about whether these things are not okay. Because then if you can fix that kind of stuff in elementary school and middle school, kind of what I was talking about, like the biases that I carry just by being an ignorant white person who doesn't have a lot of experience with people outside of their own race necessarily. Like, I mean, I don't only have white friends or whatever, but it's like in general where I've lived has limited my interactions. I feel like the earlier you can go after those things and like just teach kids. I mean, that's why they teach kindergartners on the first day of school to share and like the basic values of respect. Like why are we not instilling the values we want people to have as young of an age as possible? And we need people who are going to be there to instill those values, I think.
Yeah, because there's there's like an idea that people don't notice race until they're older, which has been proven time and time again by science and in particular psychology, that that is like just not true. People notice race when they're a baby simply because of the color of people's skin. And it's very easy. Yeah, there's just so much science out there that it's really proven that people recognize race early on. And you're just going to have those conversations early on as well. And I think it's a lot to do with like, you know, generations, like probably the generation of teachers we grew up with. Obviously, they would talk about it sometimes, but I would totally, like, there was nothing in elementary school about race at all. But I bet now elementary schools are going to have those conversations. And it's just a difference with the people who are becoming teachers. You know, obviously with Black Lives Matter now, I think it has become more evident that those conversations are needed in order to kind of minimize the way in which white students kind of project this, you know, racist comments onto students of color. And obviously having the conversation with students of color that this is something they're going to deal with, and I guess preparing them for it, because, you know, obviously every person of color has a conversation with family or someone where, you know, they get real about this stuff and they know that's going to happen.
And by preparing, I mean like giving students of color resources in school to find communities where they can talk about their mental health in regards to identity and racism and other, obviously other things that intersect with race as well, but just in general, there isn't much of a discussion about that, and at least preparing students of color for like the mental health effects that come with experiencing racism. So more so like that, I didn't mean that like preparing students of color to just take what white people say to you and internalize it, but ways in which they can find confidence in their identity. Because at least for me in middle school, I heard more so a lot about like girl empowerment and like empowering women in STEM and like resources for that, but there wasn't resources for like empowering students of color in white spaces. So that's mainly what I meant.
And that didn't happen in school, so it's very interesting just to be figuring out what that looks like for you when you're younger, when you don't even really know what that means. Like, I didn't know what race was at all, but in elementary school, but I knew that I was different for like XYZ reasons. And then that didn't become clear until like middle school. Definitely education has a big part to do with it, how people are raised. So I try not to like, especially just because of how different people are in high school, some people compared to middle school, I don't try to like, you know, cancel them over that. Because even canceling, you know, I think canceling works in some experiences, but not like with middle school and people just say dumb things.
Yeah, because it's, I mean, and I think that part of the reason why, I mean, I think both of us, I think me being more mature, like, again, if you had brought this up, who knows what would have happened if you had confronted me 2 years ago about this. I'm not going to sit here and say that I would have done what I did yesterday. I don't know what I would have done, because, you know, it's that's just the honest truth about it. But I think also just you being so in, I mean, I think you're obviously very like politically active, and I mean, your podcast is about race talks. This is something that obviously one is involved in every day of your life, but something too that like you've taken the time to, you know, like make yourself highly educated about. And I think that also part of the way for me was just like the way you approached that conversation. It was just, I don't know. I just felt like it set up a very positive conversation, I feel like, for the both of us. And I think that obviously, I've heard this, and I totally agree with this sentiment that it's not the person of color's job to not get angry when someone says something racist or be able to have perfect control of their emotions. And no one has perfect control of their emotions. It's like, but it's impossible. There should be zero expectation that how they approach or handle or address something like that. But I just think that like, it was just such I'm just saying, guess in this one instance, I'm not saying this is like the format piece for people should use, but I just really appreciated how like you kind of just brought it up and then gave me an outlet to talk about it. And like, we both talked about it, and I think it allowed me to like think about it. And this will be something that I'll probably remember for the rest of my life. And cause it just becomes such more of a powerful conversation when it feels like you're allowing me, who is obviously the like the person who initiated this incident, the person who was in the wrong here, to become a part of the part of the discussion.
Yeah.
Cause I think also part of the, what turns people off right away is if like, it's just, oh, this is like, you're just telling people like, no, yes, or cancel, or this or that. Like when you become a part of the discussion, I feel like you want so much more to become a part of the solution. And now you feel like you feel like, how do I get to a spot where how do you get to a spot where you can handle these situations so much better? And I think being like solution orientated like that is just, that's going to allow me to maybe say my friend does, say one of my friends, because all my friends are idiots. That's why, one of the reasons why I love them, but say my friend says something tomorrow, could be 6 months from now, something that I think they shouldn't have said, or that I find offensive, or that should be found offensive. Once you're part of the discussion, you have the tools to like have these conversations with people open and honestly, then I feel like you can do a better job of like changing the culture around the people you associate yourself with.
That's exactly what Kellen and Kaya said. Like after taking that class, they said they leave that class now being more ready to be able to, you know, address those things when they happen. And definitely the way I approached having the conversation with you is something that like I was definitely apprehensive about, just because like you said, if I brought this up 2 years ago, you don't know how you would have responded. And I don't know how you would have responded like the other day. So I had to talk.
We don't know each other very well.
Yeah. So I had to talk. Yeah. I had to talk to two people just to be like, is this a crazy idea to bring up something that was, you know, obviously impacted me in middle school to a person that I think changed, but can still like talk about it in a way that can be productive for a lot of like other white people listening? Because I do, and some people are like, if you want to do it, like you don't know how they're going to respond. It's like, and in my mind, I was like, this could go like, no, that never happened, I didn't do it, or it could happen the way it did now. There's just so many things I was thinking about. I had to ask a couple people beforehand. I was like, is this like a risky thing to do? And they're like, you know what, just send it. They're like, just do it. So I was like, okay, whatever. If they're like, just whatever happens, whatever happens. And I've had a lot of these conversations with my close friends because they have done things, especially in middle school, that weren't right. And instead of trying to like hate them or come at it in a bad way, I didn't want to do that because I felt like there was potential for that, for them to change. And so I've been used to having those conversations like with even my closest friends, where now I feel like even if I don't know the person that well, I can approach it in a similar way of like giving them a space to at least like talk about it, and maybe I can explain what's wrong with it. Like I've been doing that a lot recently with particular friends. Earlier freshman year, I would do that. It's just something, because I know that they're nice and things just don't come out the way they should. And I just try to correct them for it, because I know in the future, if they are friends with someone with the same identity as me, I don't want them to say that to them. So it's like, I'll take whatever, like the beating or whatever, how you could say it, like, I'll take it as long as I know that this might not happen again. You know, who knows, like they might not notice whatever they do is like wrong, but if I can at least tell them about it and get them to think about it, there's a chance that it might not happen again to another person. And that's fine with me.
Yeah. I mean, but I think that that is like kind of what I was trying to get at earlier, because I've had a lot of conversations this year about like the way people get approached and called out. I think that just speaks to like your ability and commitment towards, you know, I mean, because I feel like it's not fair to expect all people of color, it's not their job to do what, you know, to be okay with people saying things that are just wrong, or people doing things that are just wrong, whether they intended to or not. I think one of the things I learned this year, it's not like it's no person of color's job to take on that role, but I think it's like, I mean, it takes a really big person who's really, I mean, I just respect you a lot for that, because I think that that's, there's no way that's easy to constantly be thinking about, like that's something that I never have to think about. If I want to let something slide, I just let it slide, because like I said, I'm not going to think about it the next day, because, well, I can try, well, I should take every day and try to be, you know, like a person who does and says things they're proud of. It's just like you were saying, the literal impact of an event, for me, it doesn't matter, you know, how woke someone is. The impact on an event for me will often last 60 seconds. And for someone else, if it's about race, could last their whole life. I think just keeping that in mind every time you open your mouth is just like, you have to always be like, I used to always be like, oh, why you got to bring race into this? I think that's a lot. I think something, a lot of like doxa there is around racial conversations. Like, this doesn't have to do with race. Like, why you got to bring race into this? And it's just like, I feel like so often as white people, we just don't understand until we have conversations. And even then, it's still going to be hard to understand, because it's like, it's the same idea where like, we don't know how it feels, but we can try to understand how it feels and then make our choices based on that.
Yeah. Because we're looking through two different lenses. Like, the lens of a person of color is always going to be connected to race almost all the time versus a white person, because a white person's lens is not going to be like that right away, especially as a kid. So I know, like, when white people normally bring that up, it can come from a place of just like them genuinely not seeing race at all, or maybe they just don't like having that conversation and don't want to admit to that. You know, there's like different ways, like different like intentions behind that statement. And it is very annoying to hear, but it's just the reality that like white people don't grow up with seeing race as much as they should, as much as they are like literally a part of it and creating it.
Kind of on the theme of like, just everything is, you know, it's not like a flip where racist, not racist. It's like more of like a dial where you're here and you should always try to be getting better as a white person in terms of becoming an ally. Cause obviously, at some point the standard needs to become that, because we're all just human beings, we're all on the same level. Someone saying something racist to someone who is black should offend me as much as it should offend them. When you get to a spot where it's like, I feel like we really can understand and empathize with people who are not ourselves. Cause it's the same, like an insult to anyone based on something as like, you know, as like the color of their skin, that should offend me as much as it should offend someone else. But I think just because of growing up with having that experience, not whatsoever, it's like, it's a very, very active process of trying to be like, you know, this is wrong. I need to be calling it out. I need to be doing something about this. The idea of being like, you need to be not racist, you need to be anti-racist. I think that's something that, like, with the Black Lives Matter movement obviously gaining a lot more national media coverage and traction, that's getting put out there, that's something that I think a lot of people need to hear. Because it's, until you're actively stopping the problem, or until you're actively preventing these kind of things from happening, like, you're not doing enough, I would say.
Yeah. And I definitely relate to what you said about like getting angry for other people, if that makes sense, because definitely, obviously, as a person of color, when I hear racist things said to other people of color, even though we're different identities, I get just as mad knowing how that feels.
I wanted to clarify that I meant that I would be just as mad as them. Obviously, people are going to have different reactions to whatever racist thing is said to them. It's not always anger, but I meant it as in, like, I would strongly be empathetic with that person, knowing what that feels like. Obviously, I don't know exactly, but I would know pretty close what that is. I didn't want to make it seem like I have like some sort of ownership over another person's experience. More so like empathy-wise, most people of color, like, for example, like in the first episode, like I had with Liam and Layla, even though like none of us really talked before at all, having that conversation throughout, you could just tell like we all knew what each other's experiences felt like, as different as they were, even though we didn't know each other. So that's kind of what I meant.
This is something I never thought would happen. I just honestly thought this is something I was just going to think about and always wonder how the situation could have gone differently. Do these people even remember what happened? And middle school me was very like insecure about calling people out on it, or just even having a discussion about it. But in the last like 2 years, you just kind of learned that if you can approach the conversation in a way that's more productive, then something good can happen out of it. Like I've had conversations before with some people, like last year, someone called a friend and I anti-Semitic for saying Free Palestine at the Multicultural Assembly. And I found this out through a teacher, and I told the teacher I want to talk to her. I was like, I don't want her to just keep thinking this, because one, obviously I think that's incredibly wrong. And we had a conversation after school for an hour and a half. I still stand by what I said, but I heard what she said and we talked about it. So I think I've just had more experiences in being able to have discussions with people. And I just like doing it, because I know it's not like people of color's job to do that. But I don't know, I just like doing it. I think in some way it's like a coping mechanism.
Well, I mean, personally for me, I think I always feel better, like, you know, talking and processing things. And at least even if it makes me feel more angry, or even if you have a conversation with someone, you're like, all right, like, you know, like, fuck this person. Like, I'm not like what they said was, after talking with them again, I realized that they still haven't changed. I feel like having in your head, having more, you know, like finality over like whether this was something that someone actually thinks or whether this is something that they're just being like willfully ignorant about. I think having like just, I think the best thing, and also the thing like in a lot of aspects of like the United States is what's lacking right now, is just like open and honest dialogue. And just in a sense that like, I feel like looking someone in the eyes and talking to them, like you understand them, and you're so much more, you're both a part of the same conversation. You're both are like expressing, you know, like, I feel like I've tried to be very honest during this conversation. And I think that that's something that you just were so polarized right now, like people all across the country are just very polarized. I feel like that's the kind of thing, that's how you move forward with things like this, just by having conversations about it. Cause like kind of like what you were saying, with the, your Palestine versus Israel. Yeah. Multicultural Assembly. That's something that like, it's not like you don't believe that you are being anti-Semitic whatsoever because you're just saying Free Palestine. And the other person has a different opinion on that matter. But when you both talk and express your opinions, you both get to a place where like, all right, like it's more comes from a place of like, I feel like respect and understanding versus a lot of people's initial just like snap judgment of, you know, like this is like of a very emotional response, I feel like, is what you get right off the bat.
And I honestly walked out of that conversation feeling more confident in what I said. That was, yeah, I just try to talk it out with people because I get into like a state of overthinking a lot, and I would rather just sit down with a person and figure out what happened than have my mind go crazy in a way and just think about a lot of things. That's honestly what happened with the thing that happened in middle school. Every year I always thought about it. All the time. And yeah, just straight up all the time. That's all I would think about. If I was getting like really upset about things that happened in Lincoln, I would just be like in this state where I was reflecting on everything that happened in like elementary and middle school, and like maybe what I could have done to prevent things in high school. Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm just learning more that I want to have these conversations with people. And I don't think I would if I would think it's a waste of my time. Like, if I really think the person wouldn't change, at least by now, like in high school, like I don't really have a tolerance for like people saying racist things down high school, because I feel like I just think at by this point that shouldn't like be happening. But when I think about like middle school and stuff, I am more lenient, and I do trying to see that like maybe it wasn't all bad like coming from them. It just could be just because like they're young. Like that's what I think when I see like little kids at Trump rallies. Like, I really don't think, like, deep down they're for Trump. You know, it's probably just, like, their parents or something. Unless I have a really good reason for it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's some things that people, last year, the Portland bus, where the guy was yelling racial slurs at that person, and then he stabbed the people trying to defend
him.
Like, that's obviously, like, the most overt, clear example you can get. And obviously there's, like, significantly ones that are lower that you would still have, like, that people should still have zero tolerance for. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely a thing where I think it's a little bit has to do with age, and a little bit has to do with the like
environment,
because obviously there's some things where we have people in our society that you know, I feel like there's no convincing them that the way they act and behave is like immoral and wrong. Like, and then at that point you waste time on those people when I feel like the majority of people want to be, you know, they most people think they're good people. Most people think that they treat other people and stuff with respect. Yeah. And I feel like also as like we evolve with like the way, I mean, even in the past 3 years, imagine things that someone would have said 3 years ago that is not PC now. Because I think as just, we just, and not in like the, like, I'm not in like the PC sense where it's like, oh, you're mocking, like, this is too PC. I'm talking about things where it's like the generation above us, Gen X, would frequently, I know lots of people's parents would say the, like, for example, when quoting something, they would be saying the N-word. Now it's obvious that like when you, if you're quoting a song or something, maybe I know that a lot of people in that generation would think that's an acceptable thing to say. Now it's just like, and I don't think that comes from a place of like, normally if someone says the N-word, you're like, okay, they're just extraordinarily racist. And that's not, that obviously shouldn't fly. I think that's one of the things that like, that falls under that category. But I think it's also just about understanding like where people were at a certain time and where we are now. Cause like, if that's something that I heard one of my parents say with their quote, like, oh, this song has this, and then say like, all right, like, that's something that you have to have a conversation about, because like, as we're evolving and understanding more how to understand and properly address racial incidents, the like what should be done and said also changes.
And I just wanted to add that we were mainly talking, like the main point of what Jake and I were talking about was when racist things are said by like certain generations, sometimes they don't realize exactly how racist it is simply because of the way in which it was normalized. And therefore, the conversations we have to have with our parents, we have to approach it differently rather than just like head on calling them racist, unless it's like pretty obvious that they're saying it like with a malicious intent. Obviously, it's different depending on the scenario, but I guess we're more so talking about in the sense that when things are normalized and it's not seen as wrong, if they're just saying, like, for example, like we were talking about older people quoting the N-word, just like if it was in a song, like, obviously that's not okay, but for most older people, they wouldn't see why it's not okay. So, yeah, just the main point was, like, approaching the conversations in a way that fits that person's, I guess, context or the way they were raised.
Yeah. That's great.
Which is why just like canceling someone, you have, I feel like context and environment is important when you're considering whether something is like the most extreme example, like the guy in the bus or something like what I just brought up. I feel like you have to, cause if you cancel too many people, then I feel like you turn people off from a movement that everyone should be a part of.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's people who need to be just taken out of the equation because they just bring too much negativity.
And that's like if you're calling, I think Liam said this, like he said he would never tell a white person like, oh, you're so ignorant, or, you know, like you're so racist, because instantly that's just going to turn them off away from the conversation. And I remember he was saying like in any sort of like conversation where a person of color is like trying to talk to a white person about like something they did, most of the time it's with the intention of them wanting for you to like be better and for that to not happen again. But oftentimes people like take it so personally. So I didn't want to like approach it being like, Jake, you're racist. Like, I hate you for this. Like, you're so ignorant. Cause I know like that's not going to do anything. And I know you're very different, at least from what I've seen in middle school to now, at least like having this conversation, middle school me would not expect this like of you, like just being straight up. And that's just the reality, like people change and you just have to kind of approach the conversation wanting, you know, just wanting it to be productive.
Yeah, kind of like, for example, and I think also, cause I know you guys, you've had discussions about like white guilt and stuff on your podcast before. So people who listen would obviously like know like what you guys have already talked about that. But if you had said that, I think now I'm in a place where I wouldn't have gone like, and be like, oh, it didn't happen. But I for sure would have just immediately gone to like, made it about me, in the sense that in my head, I'm thinking how guilty I am. I was like, how can I do this? What can I do / say to make myself feel better, versus a conversation where it's like, what can I do / say to become a person that won't do this again, and that will be able to have conversations with other people and create like a ripple effect that sort of you become part of the solution versus like you're super self-orientated.
Yeah, definitely. I just think we have to approach these conversations, just understand that there's like places to grow. Obviously there's some things, like you said, that would be, I think, like inexcusable, and I probably would get aggressive over, but at some point it just feels like it's not worth it sometimes, just with in my experience and the things I've had. Like, that's definitely one of the worst things I've had to experience to date, and who knows, there might be something that tops that and you're not number one anymore. But just, yeah, I don't know, I just try and, you know, this happens and it's more of just something I accept, and humor is one thing to cope. So if you're not number one, I'm very sorry about that, but that's also just sarcasm, because that's just how
I feel like what's his face, I feel like Trump when you said like U.S. number one coronavirus, like best in the world. It's like number one in the something you do not want
to yeah
number one in.
Yeah, I definitely go about experiences with sarcasm and jokes. I think that's a coping mechanism for a lot of people. I mean, I think this is a good way to wrap up the conversation, unless you want to add anything.
I think that's it for me. Just thanks for one, giving me the opportunity to talk to you about this, because I mean, obviously our experiences of this incident are polar opposites. I mean, I had to think about this for, I don't know, 15 hours. You had to think about, or however long, I'm not very good at math. You have been thinking about this for a very long time. And I guess, I mean, as someone who considers themselves like empathetic and like, I guess a, like an emotional person, I think that like, I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to like talk to you about this so soon after, because I mean, this is something that for sure would have eaten me up. And I just can only imagine, obviously, what's been happening to you. So I guess I just appreciate you letting me on. And I think this was a good, interesting conversation to have. And I hope people, especially other white people kind of similar to me, get something out of it, I guess.
Yeah, I'm really glad you had the conversation. I think it was pretty well. And in a lot of ways, it's really great for me to have, because now I'm definitely not going to think about it in the same way I used to. And that's a really great feeling. You know, that's just not something I'm going to think about in the same way I used to, of it being so negative. And now it'll, you know, I didn't think about it negative all the time. Like, obviously I learned from it. I was like, made me, I guess, stronger, you could say, but I think getting some sort of clarity on it, even though you didn't remember it, but just talking about it is really good. Yeah, I don't think I can put it into words, but quite a good feeling. So, and I think a lot of people will learn something from this. So
thanks. All right. Thank you again, Tasneem. It was nice talking to you.
This was like really great. I don't think I can put it into words.
And that's the last episode for the series, at least for now. And yeah, I really appreciated the conversation. It was quite crazy to have. That was really good for me in a lot of different ways, and also probably good for Jake. I appreciate everyone who's listened to any episode, whether it's just one or all of them. I don't want to stop doing them. Obviously, in the beginning, I said I'm going to take a break and then I'll come back to them. But yeah, I really appreciate everyone that spoke with me, and because I know it's like not the easiest thing to do, especially for some people, because I'm not close with everyone that I brought on, and being able to share such vulnerable things and just be able to take time out of their day to do it. I really, really appreciate that. And I hope everyone also acknowledges that as well, like what it takes for some of these people to be able to say the things they did and have it be posted online on the internet for everyone to listen. So yeah, if anyone has any ideas for what they would want to see in the next season, feel free to contact me. This was just a really fun project for me to do to start in quarantine in the beginning of summer, and something I want to keep doing. So yeah, I don't think I can express enough how happy I am with how it went, the responses I've heard from people, and just in general everything that's come out of it. Thank you one last time, and as always, I hope you learned something.